you know, similar to what you covered with the Vancouver Canucks. Like, once this spreads, when the team's in close proximity, you know, there are guys who get it a few days later. Like, it's only Monday. We could easily see a few more tests positive later this week.
Yeah, and we've just added 4 to the 5 we reported on yesterday, right? So that's absolutely part of it. And, you know, when you've got a team that's, you know, the vaccination rates aren't necessarily where they want them to be, that leaves a number of players that are open to it. And look, even if you've been vaccinated, you can get it. You know, we know this variant is very, very strong, but, you know, you've got well over 60 players in the building, right? Because when you add all the various taxi squads to all of it, plus players on one game and six game, there's a lot there. So, you know, when you combine the fact that there still are a number that haven't been fully vaccinated with what's still there, yeah, it can get away from you, right? I mean, certainly the situation in Vancouver with the Canucks was different and I'll say more severe, only because we were at a stage of time where, you know, the Canadian players weren't readily vaccinated, right? It just wasn't available to them. Whereas here, you know, the options are there. So you're still going to get a number of players that are vaccinated that it's just not going to break through to. But nonetheless, I mean, 9 players at this stage, and 12, if you go back to the beginning, when we've heard names like Brian Walker and Kwaku Boateng and Sir Vincent Rogers already on the list, it's a big number for Edmonton.
When you look at this situation from a complete CFL perspective, including the players and the league, do you think this kind of makes them feel comfortable with the way they've set things up? Do they review it? What do they do next, Farhan?
Well, I don't know that the league could have done more if they still wanted to play, right? I mean, they put a number of things in place. They've tried to incentivize vaccinations as much as possible. They've put, you know, rules in place to create distancing and so on for those that don't have it. You know, like they've gone through a myriad of approaches, and I think we all understand that vaccination is still the best way to go. Even if it doesn't completely eliminate your ability to get it, it'll put you in a much safer place if you, in fact, do get it. So we know that that's the way to go, and I don't know what more they could do in that regard. Some, you know, a cynic might say, well, they shouldn't be playing, but it's tough to do for a second season when everybody else is playing. So, you know, this is going to come down to teams and a level of buy-in, right? I mean, it's tough. Chris Preston said that it was a mixed group in terms of vaccinated versus unvaccinated. So if you are unvaccinated and you know that some vaccinated players got it, it allows you to justify your position, saying, you know, so what? He got it, and he's got the jab. So, you know, ultimately, this has got to come down to players. It's got to come down to the PA pushing. It's got to come down to locker room leadership, you know, pushing guys to kind of move forward with this so that it doesn't happen. And if you don't have it, let's not get frivolous, because, you know, there are players that probably are outside doing what they maybe shouldn't be doing, and it can't be policed at this point in time, right? So it's a tough situation, but I just think if you're going to make it work, it's got to come from within the locker room.
Well, I think people have to understand that, you know, because you can reduce your odds of infection by a factor of 3 because you've not been it. But then if you're hanging around people who haven't, it's just going to increase your factors by 5. And simply put, the high-risk exposures to the COVID can overwhelm a very good but imperfect vaccine. That's just been proven. Like, the scientists say this. So it's one where I'm curious to see how it's going to move forward amongst the group. And more importantly, you know, the Elks, if they can find an, like, obviously the Elks organization is going to want to do everything they can to get that game replayed. Otherwise, they're the ones that are going to be forfeiting paycheck. And that's going to cause some severe strain, I think, for some players, because that's 1/14 of their pay that will be out the door. And when you look at the, I don't know if Farhan, I haven't had a chance yet to look at the schedule. Like, do you see a spot where this game could be played?
You know, I think probably the cleanest spot where both teams would get affected equally would be around the August 30th, 31st window, you know, before Labor Day weekend. I think there's some possibilities there, but I think it would still be challenging. You know, I also looked at some dates in and around October where, you know, one team has a bye, but the other one doesn't yet. And, you know, is there an opportunity to kind of stagger it where maybe you go, you know, 4 days between games, and it's tough, right? And look, I think the PA is going to try to find a way to do everything they can to make it happen so that these guys get paid, you know, even if there are some safety concerns around that. But look, talking to Chris Preston today, the group did, as you heard, he's very confident that they're going to wind up finding a way to play the game. I think the league wants to make sure everybody gets paid and do everything they can to do it. I got to be honest with you, I'm not sure it would be, right? Like, I mean, what would be the hard lesson to learn here? You know, and this is not like a shot at Edmonton or anything like that, but if you want to send a message around the league, wouldn't that message be a forfeiture early on in the process? If you want to send a message to other locker rooms, and look, you know, people won't look at it that way. They think, you know, bigger picture. But from my perspective, you know, you're in week three, between week three and week four, so you've got a bit of runway, maybe. But now all of a sudden you get to week 11, you've got no runway, and now a team's going to feel hard done by because Edmonton got it looked after and somebody else didn't, right? So, you know, look, I want to see all these guys get paid. I don't think CFL players make enough to begin with. But, you know, at the same time, there is good that can come from hard lessons to be learned in these situations.
CFL and TSN reporter Farhan Lalji joined us talking about the Elks issues with their COVID situation through their franchise. Farhan, have you heard of any discussion or internal discussions between players that have been vaccinated and those non-vaccinated and maybe some pressure being applied one way or another to get everyone kind of on the same page?
Yeah, you'd have to think some of that is happening, right? And then you also look at what's happening with the Players Association. And, you know, there are some people in the PA's leadership that aren't in favor of vaccines. And certainly the PA generally has a dance to do when it comes to any of these issues, right? Saying that, okay, well, we've got, you know, we've got to protect the rights of both sides, right? Whether it's a contact-related issue and there's a fine involved, or whether it's something like this. They've got to try to make sure that everybody's protected, right? So on one hand, they're trying to push to loosen restrictions because they've got a big percentage of their membership saying, look, I'm double vaxxed. I want to be able to go to restaurants, and I want to be able to spend time with my family, and I want to be able to travel when it's a bye week and what have you. But then you've got the other side that wants their rights protected, right? So it's a little bit of everything here in terms of how they can do it. But you'd have to believe that there is some pressure in the locker room. You know, now, is there more now than there was maybe at the start of the year or when the first league memorandum came out about forfeitures? You know, I don't know what the pressure points are, but I certainly believe something like this has got to wake some people up.
Farhan Lalji joins us from TSN. Farhan, just looking overall at the league early on, the first few weeks were kind of ugly if you liked any sort of offense, right? It did seem to pick up a little bit in week three. You coached for a long time. Were you surprised that the offense was struggling more than the defense early on?
Well, a little bit, yeah. I mean, I think seven of the first eight games over the first two weekends went under. I thought a lot of the mistakes would come on defense, to be quite frank. I thought that there'd be players that still need a bit more time to be comfortable tackling again, because you really can't do it in training camp. I thought there'd be more likely to be some busts in defensive assignments, right, where receivers might be left running open. But, I think that the first couple of weeks of the year, I thought quarterback play was probably as bad as I've seen it in some time. But I think there was a real uptick in that on week three. So it certainly got a little bit better this past week. But yeah, I mean, I knew there'd be some hiccups along the road here just because it's been so long since they've played. And Jason Strudge, you know, right? Like, I mean, you know, you've played pro sports at the highest level. You've been through lockouts, right? Like, I mean, it's tough to kind of get back and reintegrate it and readjust in a situation like that.
Yeah, especially if you're a skilled player. You know, the guys are just driving hammers or nails into the wood.
Are you
it's pretty
to say
easy.
You
well, you know what? I don't want to bring it up now, but I guess you want it. You never framed me as such, and so the coach has never used me like that, right? When we were in Vancouver.
No, I think you were a highly skilled player. Come on.
You kept that to yourself, hey?
All these years?
Farhan, I'm a card-carrying member of the fan club for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They're just putting points up like crazy. Where do you give the credit? Is it Fajardo or their number or numerous Canadian receivers?
Well, I think there's a lot of credit to go around. I mean, I think it starts at the beginning of the year. I mean, you talk about Edmonton losing some players right now. Calgary or Saskatchewan lost four, including two starters, to the Achilles situation at the beginning of the year, and yet Craig Dickinson managed to kind of control that situation where he didn't lose the locker room, so he got buy-in right away. I think Jason Moss has done a really good job taking advantage of what Cody Fajardo does best, and I think Fajardo has played at a very high level and has gotten better each week, and for sure, I mean, it goes all the way to the top when you can have that level of depth at Canadian receiver to you know, navigate some injuries and things of that nature. But you know, I think from management to coaching all the way down to players, I think there's a lot of credit that should be shared. I mean, look, it's only 3 weeks, and you know, if BC had a decent kicker, they'd probably lose week one. But I think their offense has come out firing at a pretty high level right from the beginning. And you know, Fajardo, one of the things he really worried about and talked about this openly was that, you know, I really wanted to build momentum after a breakthrough year for me in 2019, and he was never able to build on that, right? So good for him to still be able to kind of recapture that, because not all the young quarterbacks have done that as consistently as Cody has.
Yeah, he's been quite good. And Farhan, there's now, I think it's six teams in the CFL that have the requirement for vaccinations. Do you see, like, the Elks? I know in Edmonton, the Oilers have plans, the OEG. They're just finalizing them, but you're likely going to require vaccinations. We saw the Toronto Blue Jays come out with it this morning. Do you think we will see all nine teams requiring this sooner than later?
Yeah, I mean, we're already up to seven because you saw Calgary this morning made the same announcement, and BC is now there as well starting September 13th. So I think across the country you're going to see very few provinces go all the way into phase four, and in Alberta, which is the most open province, might have to start walking things back again a little bit. So again, you saw it in Calgary, and I'd be surprised if Saskatchewan and Edmonton, the only two remaining teams, aren't forced into that situation before too long here.
Well, Farhan, it's always good to catch up with you, my man. It'll be an interesting week, one that won't involve the Elks and the Argos because that game has been postponed. Not officially canceled yet, just postponed as they try to find a new date. Always good to catch up with you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. I now want the check in the mail, Struds, for calling you a skilled guy.
Thank you, buddy. Well, there would have been more money to give you if you'd done it 20 years ago.
See you later, guys.